In our gospel reading today, Jesus demonstrates God's mercy and power, accepting the unacceptable and curing the incurable. Even the dead receive new life. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew, the 9th chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. This is the word of the Lord. Well, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Rules are meant to be followed. They are written down, they are posted, and they are meant to be followed. Why does the city put stop signs up? So that you stop. Rules are meant to be followed. I don't know if you've noticed, I think that there are a lot of people in the city who have not. But on the right-hand side of your steering column, there is this little flippy lever. If you're going to turn right, you push that flippy lever down, and the amazing thing happens, there is this little green light at the front of your car or at the back of your... Actually, it's red. At the front or the back of your car that starts blinking. Or if you want to turn left, you push it up. Now, the amazing thing is, we all studied this once upon a time. It was in the driver's manual that we all had to take tests on. Rules are meant to be followed, right? Use the turn signal. I don't know about you, but during COVID, I didn't argue with the store personnel that were around. When it said take one pack of toilet paper or Kleenex or paper towel, I didn't argue. I just figure rules are meant to be followed. It is very black and white. Until you run into Jesus. Until you meet the Savior of the world. Because everything that seems so black and white all of the sudden becomes rather fluid in the midst of the Savior of the world. So here he is walking along one day and he comes to this guy by the name of Matthew, a tax collector. A tax collector. You and I don't understand the depth of derision that is focused at tax collectors in that day. They were Jewish people who were in cahoots with the occupying entity, the Roman government. And the fact that someone would actually work with the occupiers to collect taxes left them as outsiders. No one liked him. And what's Jesus say? Come and follow me. Who would have ever thought that Jesus would do such a thing? But remember, he is one who has a very fluid interpretation of the laws of the day. As a matter of fact, as he runs into the religious leaders of the day, they're extremely upset because he is sitting around and eating with sinners and tax collectors. Eating is an intimate act. You only sit down and eat with people who are your equals in biblical times. You only sit at table with people that you respect and care for. And Jesus is sitting with sinners and tax collectors this day. And when the religious leaders of the day say, "What is he doing?" He comes directly to them and he says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners." As I run into that, it leaves me beginning to think a whole lot. What kind of rules do we put up that Jesus would call us to account for? One of them that I remember, I think that most of us, out of respect, wouldn't wear, at least the guys, wouldn't wear a hat into the church, right? Out of respect, that's what we would do. Well, once upon a time, a pastor who he's really one of my mentors, one of the people that got me first into a lay ministry program and eventually blessed me on my way to seminary, he got sideways with the congregation because he began challenging kids for wearing a hat into church. I'm not going to say what's right or wrong or what we should do or what we shouldn't do. But in reading this text today, what would Jesus say? Jesus wasn't concerned about sitting down with sinners and tax collectors. What kind of rules do we put up that are more about our society today than about what Jesus had to say in the midst of what was going on? He says he desires mercy, not sacrifice. Acts of loving and caring our neighbors are more important. Acts of offering a welcome to outsiders is more important than the religious practice of the day of going to the temple and offering sacrificial animals there on the altar. In our text today, then, Jesus begins to live out what this looks like, because he's breaking the law right in front of our eyes, right there in black and white on the pages of Scripture. The first thing that he does, he heals this woman. Hemorrhaging for 12 long years, she would have been considered unclean. She shouldn't have come into that gathering of people at all, because encountering them, touching them, she would have made them ritually unclean as well. She reaches out and touches Jesus, and he doesn't reject her. Instead, he looks at her. This unclean woman. And he says, "Your faith has made you well." The Levitical rules of the day become fluid in Jesus' interpretation. And if that's not enough, he continues on with the synagogue leader. He goes to the bedside of this child who is dead. The father has declared the girl dead. The community knows that she is dead, and I think that Jesus is speaking metaphorically when he says, "Ah, don't worry, she's just sleeping." He crosses a boundary and touches this girl, and she gets up. Levitical law doesn't allow for the touching of the dead. But in Jesus' world, the laws become fluid. So this past weekend, you may have noticed, and we've got a picture if we can bring it up, that a group of us were not here. Pastor Martha and Pastor Mary Lou and myself were at what is called the Western North Dakota Synod Assembly, a gathering of 161 or so congregations that stretch from Highway 3 roughly, so that highway that goes from Ashley up to Rugby, on up north to the Canadian border, all the way from there to the Montana border, from the Canadian border down to the South Dakota border. We gathered together with about 300 other folks. And you can see that Beth Campbell is there on the picture because she serves as part of the Synod Council for the Western North Dakota Synod. And then we had Janelle Gumke, Ed and Sherry Feist, Alan Henning, Dean Natwick, Bob Wiefold, and Wanda Benz. All of us there at the assembly for the weekend. And Scott Hauser was there as well. Scott got scooped up to be the decorator for the assembly hall, as well as one of the musicians for all of our worship times together. We had an incredible time of doing Bible study and conversation and all sorts of things. Our Bible study leader this year was Dr. Michael Chen. He had been a professor at Luther Seminary. Currently, he is at Concordia College in Moorhead. And Dr. Chen had wonderful Bible studies and some incredible ways of challenging us. In the midst of Bible study, he said this: "The God we know is the God who gathers outcasts, and God is deeply attuned to their pain. The God we worship is a God who gathers outcasts." Think about the text before us today. Jesus is gathering outcasts. He is eating with sinners and tax collectors. He's inviting Matthew to come and follow. He is healing people who are ritually unclean and raising the dead. This is what Jesus, the Savior of the world, does. And I think invites us to engage those who would be considered outsiders as well. Chen did four Bible studies as we were together last weekend. And each Bible study, he began with a thesis, or what he called one big idea. And in one of the Bible studies, his big idea was this: that when God calls us to something, God is going to stretch us. When God calls us to act, God is going to stretch us. Is going to stretch our imaginations, our abilities, and even our resources. Chen stood up against some of the comments of the day that will say that God has given you everything that you need to do what God wants you to do. Chen kind of bristles at that idea. Instead, he says, we are not prepared for what God calls us to. We are unable to do what God calls us to. And he says, when we understand that, then we will drop to our knees in prayer and we will ask God to give us what we need to do what God is calling us to. So that when it happens, we don't pat ourselves on the back, But we understand it happened only because of God's grace and mercy. God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to use us, both corporately as a congregation and individually, to reach out to those this day who are considered the outcast, the unclean, and the untouchable. That God wants us to be in prayer, seeking God's guidance, support, and care, acknowledging that it is only through God's good grace that we can do anything. Jesus tells us today, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In the worlds in which each and every one of us live, I invite you to look around to see who needs the word of mercy that only God, through Jesus, gives. Thanks be to God. Amen.